Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. As coronavirus continues to take hold over the country and the world, many companies have scrambled to implement business continuity plans and work-from-home strategies to sustain their businesses over the short term and the long term. But as companies think of transitioning employees back into the workforce, depending on the geographical location, employees have mixed feelings about returning to work, and the research shows that. This makes it tougher for global companies and those that are successful to have strong leadership. In the U.S., for example, stay-at-home mandates closed offices and stopped commutes for many, but new data from Clutch revealed that 55% of employees would feel safe returning to their office. In contrast, over 32% of workers would feel unsafe going back to work, yet a recent survey by KPMG found that more than half of Canadians are afraid to return to the workplace, but at the same time, more than 8 in 10 trust their employer to take and maintain all the necessary health and safety precautions. Here to talk to us more about how his global company is responding to the shifting workplace dynamics and some tips on what to do to transition your employees back into the office environment is once again Mr. Adam Frohman, the CEO of Delvinia. And Mr. Frohman, thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I'm really glad to be here again.
I am as well, and really appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing from you today, specifically on the topic. So if you would, for starters, tell us again about your background and your business, Delvinia, because during this pandemic, your company, I understand, has really thrived, which is quite impressive. What do you attribute to that success? Get into some of those details.
Well, Delvinia is a global research technology company that we're really focused on utilizing digital technologies to help companies collect data for insight and make better decisions. So, you know, the reality of what's going on in there since the pandemic, where every single company around the world has really been forced to move their offices remotely at the beginning, and they're trying to figure out how to move back, which has created an immense amount of disruption. Many companies still need insight about their consumers. And what we are able to do is, because we're a technology company, we're able to provide the tools, access to the consumers to provide input to their research, collect the data they need, and provide them the really innovative technologies that they can make decisions quickly, because, you know, consumer attitudes are changing on a daily basis during the pandemic. And I think what that's done is give a little bit of a foreshadowing of what the future of insight and collecting consumer data will be all be about.
Now, we spoke a lot about working from home in a pandemic and building a virtual environment the last time around, but why is it important in your mind to return back to the office, and is it right for every company?
Well, I think many companies have been faced with understanding what a flexible workforce will be like, hopefully post the pandemic. At the early part of the pandemic, we really didn't have a choice. We went remote. Everybody, you know, at most of the companies that I know went remote overnight. Their offices were closed. And, you know, thankfully, we were one of the lucky ones that, where 90% of our technology is in the cloud, we were able to transition very easily, still serve our clients and support our business growth. But when you try to look at what does you know, working remotely due to the culture of a company, onboarding staff and, you know, HR, really collaboration amongst employees on problem solving, until you can get back into the office and understand the impact of the balance of working in an office and working remotely, it's very hard to develop a long-term strategy where a flexible work environment will, you know, reduce your cost of rent, will help expand your ability to grow globally, to quickly attract and onboard talent, and also to grow your business efficiently, so that you know, that people are not just working remotely, but as we've seen during the pandemic, it's very hard to differentiate between working and being at home, and people tend to work a lot longer hours. So, you know, getting our office open was really important to be able to understand, collect the data, understand the balance so that we can develop the new policies and a long-term strategy for our company.
Certainly some awesome input right there, and really appreciate that. Most helpful. Now, why is it also important to include all staff in the return to the office process, fostering open, inclusive communication and feedback rather than just telling them when they can expect to return?
Right. And I think what happened with the pandemic has, you know, it's not just the fact that you work for a company where you can work remotely, but you live your normal life. Everybody was forced into isolation while they were dealing with the early days of the pandemic. They've been dealing with the mental health concerns around the fear of going outside, or perhaps it's just, you know, the loneliness of being isolated in their own place. So what we wanted to do was develop a really balanced approach that would build the confidence, would build the trust, and allow us to move our plan ahead with the support of our staff. And the way we did it is we created a three-pillar balancing approach. The first one is the safety of the company. So safety of our employees. That is paramount. Making sure that our employees were safe, either in the office, on the way to the office, and really observe the government guidelines, whatever region we're in, to ensure that we can provide a very safe environment for all our employees. The second one was the mental wellness of our employees. So some of our employees are afraid to come in by anxiety. Some are immune compromised. Some have parents that are, you know, elderly. Some have small children that they're trying to manage their daycare. And others are, you know, in an apartment by themselves that they actually want to get out. So part of it is we needed to take into consideration and communicate and make sure, my philosophy is, you know, while sometimes hearing some challenging news might be difficult, most people want to know that somebody is taking control and managing it for them. So we're communicating openly and transparently. And the third part is the needs of the business. Many people just said when they went remotely, they said, oh, I'm doing my job every day. But most people don't understand whether that's in the best interest of the business the way they're working today. And we needed to balance the needs of the business to ensure that we can maintain our momentum of growth. We're able to manage through the uncertainty of the pandemic. So there was no compromise to balancing all three of those pillars of our return to office. And the only way we could do it was by communicating and including our staff every step of the way. While they don't make the decisions, it's about building trust and support. So when they do ask them, we do ask something of them, that they're well informed, they feel comfortable, and they're, you know, they know they're supported because everyone is dealing with anxiety through this.
Certainly has been a challenging year, difficult times, but really appreciate the information shared here. Most helpful and informative so far today. We're joined by Mr. Adam Frohman, the Chief Executive Officer of Delvinia, a data collection firm that has captured more than 180 million opinions and introduced the automated market research platform Methodify. He's joined us once again here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Mr. Frohman, how are you implementing a phased return to the workplace, including a 100% voluntary period? And how have you provided Delvinia employees with more control over when and how they return? Touch on that.
Well, when we developed our return to office plan, we did do it in phases. The first phase was the voluntary phase. We built it on a really interesting model that came out of the Weizmann Institute in Israel, that the scientists that developed this model showed that if you contract the virus, it usually becomes contagious and shows symptoms in about 5 days. So the idea of the model is that you spend 4 days in the office and then 10 days isolated. So what we did was, the first phase was we split the company into two teams. One team came in the first 4 days, and then they were off for the next 10. The next team came in the next week for 4 days, and then they were off for the next 10. And what that did was two things. One is, protected the company so that you know, God forbid if somebody did contract the virus, it wouldn't take down an entire team, that the team was, you know, we protected part of the team. The other one is, because the model was based on reducing the chances of getting the virus, it helped with the, you know, the anxiety around coming in and the fear of dealing with it. So when we implemented that model, you know, while people were behind it, a lot were unsure about public transit to come to the office, or dealing, or how were they going to deal with their, you know, putting their child in daycare. So we chose to implement it on a voluntary basis. It gave those people who wanted to get back to the office a chance to get back. It gave others a chance to just, you know, come in for a day and address it. So it was, the first part of the voluntary was very much about the individual. The second phase was about bringing everybody back unless they have some sort of accommodation we have to make, such as they don't have daycare or they are immune compromised. But what's happened this fall when we're going to enter our second phase, back to school hit. And the anxiety levels around getting back to school increased significantly. So we chose to extend the voluntary period. And what we did is, as we've been extending the voluntary period, what we did ask our team was, while you were dealing with yourselves as individuals, and we had about 30% of our staff come back in the office, you know, as individuals, you got to see what coming in was like. Then what we did was we asked those people to be ambassadors to encourage the rest of the team to come in for a meeting, to organize a meeting in the office, to collaborate, and then, you know, to help more teams come in. And what we wanted to do by having the teams come in, it allowed the management to observe what is the benefits of collaborating face-to-face versus doing it through video conferencing. So as we're in that voluntary, waiting to go into the next phase of accommodating phase, our hope is during that accommodation phase, we've been able to gather enough information to adapt our HR policies, our vacation policies, determine what a flexible office looks like, so that the third phase will be our new business as usual. And that really is going to come around once, you know, we see that either there's a vaccine or that we've developed the protocols that everybody is safe to come in the office. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening in 2020, and we're really, you know, hoping that it happens not too far into 2021.
You and me both, and certainly with you on that. Now, there could be pain points and employee concerns from transportation to safety measures in the building and office space. Any tips for addressing those concerns? Certainly appreciate your input on that.
One really good one is those that have been coming in, what most organizations are noticing is that public transit is pretty light these days. And, you know, people driving to the office really don't have much of a problem. But people who are dependent on public transit, they're coming in. And those that are coming in, we're asking them to take photos, document their experiences, share their stories with the rest of the staff so that, you know, they can see that it's not a usual, you know, weekday morning where the public transit is backed up, people, you know, fully, and you're standing next to somebody. That at this time, it, you know, there's a lot of space, there's a lot of social distancing able to do. Everyone has been wearing masks on public transit, and they're able to see, you know, get used to coming in the office, even if it's for a day or two. So, you know, it's really about having these ambassadors to share their stories who are doing it. The next is we don't want to mandate them, but we're strongly encouraging people to plan meetings to come in, because a lot of the fears of coming in is really just overcoming the anxiety of doing it. So we're talking through it. We're giving a lot of support. Our people and culture team is constantly on the phone talking to our staff, hearing what their anxiety is, and really dealing with helping encourage them to feel safe. By no means are we forcing anybody to do anything. And if there's any fear of safety, we don't want to push anyone. But we want to encourage people to overcome their anxiety. So it's really through sharing stories, having these ambassadors who are coming in, you know, encouraging others, and really discussing and supporting our staff. There's no silver bullet other than active communication.
Yeah, communication is such a huge part, and especially in this situation, no doubt about that. Now, is it always tough to balance employee needs with the needs of the business and ensure everyone is set up for success during subsequent stages of their return to the office plan? And tell us more about how you see companies balancing both of these.
Oh, that's a great question. We have executive meetings every day where we get input on how people are dealing with participating in initiatives we're doing. We're constantly trying to encourage staff to participate in initiatives, have group discussions. This is probably the number one concern I have with not only what's going on in the pandemic, but the long-term impact of remote working is really how do you build that sense of culture? How do you balance, people doing their work and people, being connected to a company for a long time and that sense of loyalty that you try to build and trust that you try to build with your employees. Only time will tell. We are constantly communicating. We're constantly discussing with our staff. But I'd say, coming down, we're trying to do it by encouraging group participation. We're coming up with a Halloween event to try to get people to feel connected to the company. We just celebrated the 15th anniversary of one of our businesses, our Asking Canadians business, where we raised $11,000 US for buying backpacks. And we, as part of our anniversary, we matched it and we encouraged all of our staff to give even $20. So by constantly encouraging your staff to participate, they feel connected. And then, you're sort of holding on until that time that you can actually physically get together, because the physical interaction of our staff, the social interaction amongst our staff, and the collaboration amongst our staff cannot be fully replaced through technology. We can manage through it, but it doesn't replace the actual face-to-face collaboration.
Could not have been stated any better. Totally, totally true on that. Nothing is more better than being in person and the collaboration face-to-face. Good point. Now, how is Delvinia maintaining perspective looking at the company? How is Delvinia maintaining perspective and leading and managing a team through COVID and ultimately preparing the company for a post-COVID working world, which I assume we're on the backside and I certainly see hope around the corner?
We are very privileged that our business is growing through the, we have been able to continue to maintain our relationships with our clients to not only, help them through the pandemic themselves, but also that, we're there for them in terms of they are providing us with work and they are buying our services. So we're seeing the growth and we're hiring. What we're doing is we really haven't changed our strategy very much. As a global strategy, you're constantly trying to figure out where you're going to grow and invest. And what that's really doing is it's actually accelerated our growth strategy, because as the market kind of changes and evolves and remains somewhat unstable, we're seeing the demand for services and technology like we provide, our automation platform like Methodify, is really becoming the platform to help clients, improve the way they collect data, improve the speed of which they collect data, do it cost efficiently, and most importantly, do it from anywhere that they are. So while we maintain this constant growth path, we have not taken our foot off the gas for investing in our growth, for hiring our staff, and continuing to invest in our innovation development. And I think that's really going to be the key, is that if you do not have to go away from your strategy, and if you have the ability and the intestinal fortitude, I would say, to continue to invest in the key areas of growth, as opposed to trying to just manage through the pandemic. I think post-pandemic, it's going to be like a slingshot, and we're going to be well positioned because we're already anticipating what the world looks like post-pandemic. So however long it takes, we're preparing ourselves. While we're managing for today, we're really preparing ourselves tomorrow, and I'm really excited about that.
Certainly some great things to think about as we look ahead. Good stuff there. Now, what suggestions or advice do you have for other entrepreneurs tuning in similar situations?
I think the important thing to look at for other entrepreneurs in the situation that we are in is really, you know, invest in, while everyone is concerned about how to manage through the storm of today, it's very important to organize your leadership team to be planning for tomorrow. If you do not develop the plans, if you know, you're going to get caught flat-footed. You won't be able to catch up. So planning is a key element to it. And I think the other part is you know, celebrating the positive aspects of what's going on. You know, you can't get away from the news, what's going on with rising, you know, the second wave of the pandemic. What's going on with the upcoming U.S. election, dealing with, you know, what's happening with sending children back to school. There is so much negative news out there. Finding ways to celebrate and look for the positive side in things, which is really hard, has been a real important part of what I've been trying to do through the pandemic.
I know we're just about out of time, but definitely want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today and for all the information shared. It certainly has, I'm sure, inspired the listening audience, as there certainly is hope around the corner and how to deal with it currently as well. So thank you so much for your input and your expertise shared here today. Where can listeners go for more information on Delvinia, or if they want to work with you in the future, where's the best place online to do so?
The easiest place would be to go to www.delvinia.com. That's D-E-L-V-I-N-I-A.com. You can follow us on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter. And if you want to look for me, I'm at Adam Frohman. You can go to adamfrohman.com and it'll take you to my profile page on Delvinia, or look me up on LinkedIn or Twitter.
And it sounds easy enough, and really appreciate the invitation to connect in various locations. Again, Mr. Frohman, all the best. Thanks for your time once again, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Adam Frohman, the Chief Executive Officer of Delvinia, a data collection firm that has captured more than 180 million opinions and introduced the automated market research platform Methodify, and for all the details, visit Delvinia.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.